You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Rob has a podcast, and now here is every type of white guy you don't have a crush on. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast Recap Podcast. Very excited for week number two because we have a great guest here with us today. Dr. Evie Jagoda will join us to break down everything we saw in the second week of Survivor 42. If you're listening to the podcast, of course, you could watch this on YouTube, robiswebsite.com/YouTube, where you can also catch my interview with Mariah from earlier today in the podcast feed as well, and Survivor Know-It-Alls from last night. Still to come, the feedback show. Puya Zambakili will join me for the recap for the feedback show. You can send in your feedback at robiswebsite.com/S42Questions. Of course, let's bring in a great survivor of the new era here to talk with us here today about everything that they're seeing in the game of Survivor. Please welcome my friend, Dr. Evie Jagoda is here. Evie, how are you?
What's going on, Rob? Oh my gosh. When you say my friend, Dr. Evie Jagoda, it just fills me up, Rob. You know,
okay,
I have a crush on you if that was something I would do.
If that was something that, you know, that people had towards me. Yes. Thank you, Evie. Appreciate that. So nice to see you again back here on the podcast, and very excited to get to talk about season 42 with you, because I feel like that these are sort of like your bizarro identical twins, the season 42 cast.
It's so true. It's like when I, even like, especially that first episode watching the boats come in, I was like, if I just blur my eyes, like that could be us, but it's not us. And that means I get to just watch the show and have fun and not have to stress about anything. So, can't wait to talk about it.
Okay. Evie, what's new with you?
You know, not much. I've been working. I've been living. You know, I'm happy that the sun is out for longer, you know, with the daylight savings. I don't know. Is it controversial to say that you're pro the daylight savings change?
I don't think, I think it'd be controversial if you said you were against it. I don't know anybody that's been like, hey, like, it's fine. It's fine how it is. Leave it alone, everybody.
Yeah. It's like, this is a universal opinion. And even if it wasn't, hell, Rob, I'm going to take a stance. Pro daylight savings.
Yeah. I feel like, if anything, I feel like that we should be making a bigger deal about it's something that everybody agrees on.
It's true. It's true. And it's not, you know, I'm not someone that's necessarily just wants everyone to be like, let's find common ground, but also let's find common ground where there is. It's a universal human thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let's find out who like the real trolls are who are going to come out against it.
Right. And someone will. That's the thing I've learned about the internet. There's someone, you know?
Yeah. Something is too beloved of, you know, people will want to come out with a hot take of like, you know what? I like turning the clocks back.
Yeah. But then we might find out, then we'll have to do the reveal of the thing. And then it's probably someone like Paris's or something that's actually good and we're forgetting. So
I liked it when Erica broke the hourglass. I like time travel. Okay. It's fun.
That would be a hot take, I feel like. Unless you're Erica, is worked out.
Yeah, no, she loved it. For many others, Danny specifically, not so great. So looking forward to getting to talk about Survivor 42 with you. What is it like getting to watch Survivor now as somebody who has gone through the whole Survivor experience?
You know, it's the experience of watching yourself. It's really high highs and it's low lows. It's just like, I feel like the week, talk about a roller coaster, you know, it's like every Tuesday I was like freaking out, couldn't sleep. Wednesday's crazy high. Thursday's huge crash. You know, now I just get to watch it and it's like just fun again. Like I really just have joy in watching it and like getting to be a fan. And most importantly, I get to listen to podcasts because I would always try because I wanted to. But then you hear just like one thing about you that's not even bad, but it's like not something you really want to hear.
They don't even know what they're talking about.
I mean, what? These know-it-alls don't know anything, you know?
Yeah, well, everybody knows that's true. But could you speak a little bit about the experience of what it's like of like you went out there, you lived your experience, you know what happened, and then sort of like on pins and needles, right, going into each week of like, I wonder what they're going to show.
Totally. And it really is so interesting because I feel very lucky. Like, I feel like I overall had a very nice edit. I mean, like, I feel like a lot of my story got to be told, you know, but it's not everything. And it doesn't encompass like the actual nitty gritty. And especially it's interesting to me that I'm on this for episode 2, because I feel like that was probably like one of my biggest episodes of the season. You know, I'm like so much of me going on in that episode. And that's also the episode that I feel like there was so much missing, like the Voce vote for me, not controversial in my head, but like was this huge, like, what, how could they? And it's like, oh, they just didn't really explain it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, it's, you have a lot of nerves going into every episode and you just don't know. You want everyone to like you and think you're playing well, but you don't know what's going to happen. And so, you know, if there's anyone out there, if any current players are listening to this podcast, like, we don't really know. So just don't feel bad about anything.
We don't know. I mean, that's it. And one day you'll watch a future season and you won't know.
Yeah.
And you'll understand.
Exactly. You won't know. And you'll just be on here.
Talking about a show that we love. Now, you feel like a vote like the Voce vote? Okay. Where you felt like, okay, that is, you know, not controversial at all. And I mean, maybe for Voce, but in terms of the people that were there, you know, kind of like a open and shut case. Do you feel like, is the show saying, well, how do we make this exciting for people to watch it on television?
Right. And it's like, you know, it's not like I'm saying that there's not arguments either way on something like that, but it's just like, I feel like they go out of their way because they do want it to be surprising to kind of not give you the full logic of what it's going to be. Because if they did that, you know, then what would be the pins and needles, right? So, you know, if you look at this episode, they gave us so much of like, oh, Marianne's annoying people. And, and a lot, like, I feel like when it came to the discussions around like that, you know, that tribal, pre-tribal scramble, most of what we were getting was like, I don't trust Marianne. Like they kind of like really try to head you in that direction so that when probably the more obvious thing happens, it does feel like a surprise. And obviously we can get into the specifics of that, but I do feel like they've erred on the side of surprise over explanation.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I feel like that, you know, if this was a documentary, I think we would have like a better sense of what was going on. If they were covering it, you know, like a sporting event, you know, where, you know, it's not like that they don't show us the score and then at the end it's like, oh, the big surprise of who's going to win. You know what the score is. So we only have 42 minutes of time. And I think that this is an interesting point that doesn't get talked about a lot. In that 42 minutes of time, we are also being fed a dose of misinformation to throw us off the scent of what is actually about to happen.
Right. Absolutely. And of course, you also, you know, have that the story is from all these different people's perspective, obviously. And so you can, you know, what I think of now when I'm watching it, having played the show, I went back when I'm watching it, and I'm saying, okay, how many times are these anti-Marianne comments being made with Mariah there? You know what I mean? Which is therefore not necessarily a real comment. It's something that's being said to throw Mariah off the scent. You know what I mean? But it's like they edit it as if this is actually that person's real opinion, which it might be, but you know, there's so much that they can do to kind of make you not sure what's going to happen, you know?
How weird is it for you to watch season 42, which features many of the same things that you experienced in season 41 now with new players going through? It's like I was seeing like a new family move into your house.
Yeah. It's honestly so fun. Like it's fun. And I will say, I'll just get it off the top. I've been having a little bit of feelings because I feel like so much of the conversation around season 41 was like, oh, there's all this new stuff. We hate this new season. Not that people hated it, but you know what I mean? I feel like that was the big thing that was the draw. And with 42, everyone's like, well, yeah, there's this stuff, but like, we know about it already. We already complained about it. So now we're going to just love these people, which I support. But, you know, maybe on the rewatch 42, you'll forget that you cared so much, you know?
Okay. That's an interesting point. And look, I love when people, you know, are open about their feelings in the podcast, because this is a safe space with me. And I hope that the listeners also all, treat it like a safe space.
Because that would be for me for that. Is that what you're trying
to say? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But it's interesting, because I would feel that way.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, it's like if they did, I don't have a great comparison, but you know, just a little bit. It's like, there was so much time of like, man, we spent so much time learning about the Beware advantages, but now 42, you already know what it is. Now you're just like getting to love it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the people are saying, oh, we love this cast. Oh, this is so great. And so yeah, that it's like, if anything, I've talked about this also, where it's like, where now there was too much. It took us like two seasons to catch up with everything that they're throwing at them.
Right. Yeah. I feel like it's that. So you just go back and watch 41 again. Now that you've got you figured out the rules.
Yeah. It's like, the classics are all here. The triangles, the ship wheel island. Yeah.
Yeah. Our favorite hits, the shot in the dark. Like, yeah.
Yes. You know? Evie, do you feel like that you, now that you got to watch people play out the triangles, do you feel like that maybe it would have been worth it to give it a shot?
I mean, well, they
worked out fine for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, worked out fine. And obviously they changed it, right? Because I think the biggest reason why we didn't do the triangles was that we had one guest.
One guest.
Which, and I didn't like go back and look whether, because I remember there was scenes of them. Like, did they think it was 50? And then they were like, let's go 50. We'll add 51 as our other number, like whatever. Like, I think there's a huge difference between having one guess and two guesses.
Yeah.
And no, it worked out perfect for me, because Xander and Voce went off and then I got to make alliances without them, you know?
Well, I think the bigger difference than from one guess to two guess was that they only had one person to fill up the water. Could you imagine? Right. Voce would have died.
Right. But, well, Xander would have probably done it, you know?
Yeah.
But also probably not, because yeah, like you said, like no one's gonna be like, I'm gonna go off alone myself, one person all day. Like it's just not gonna happen. So I feel like, but I mean, I think I don't know. I think the other thing is I mean it was a recurrent thing for me personally that I'm not as good at stuff like that as people might think I am. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be like, yeah, sure, we can do the triangles and then one guess, you're wrong. Blame you. That, you know, so you don't want to be on an island.
Okay. Well, I mean, ideally you want to stay there as long as you can, but that's different. I mean, do you have a favorite player in this season, or do you not want, is it too hard? Is it like, you would be like picking one of your children to pick a favorite player?
Yeah. I mean, I'm only 29, you know, almost none of them are my children.
Yes.
You know?
If you could imagine what that would be like.
Sure. No, I mean, I echo everyone that it's a wonderful cast. I think, you know, I mean, it's the coldest take around that Marianne is wonderful to watch.
Yes.
I also love Lydia. And I mean, if you're not following Lydia on Twitter, what are you doing?
You're doing Twitter wrong.
You're doing Twitter wrong. Yes. Just like objectively.
Now, Well, let me ask you about Marianne, because I spoke with Mariah this morning on the exit interview, and Mariah, you know, who said, you look, we love Marianne. Marianne is great. Marianne is a lot to handle when you're out there. Would you find Marianne's personality, which is jumps off the screen on television, would that be difficult to potentially deal with when you're out there on Survivor? Can you deal with that much energy?
Right. No, it's really interesting. And it's like, in retrospect, it's not shocking that that was a sentiment. You know, I mean, she's giving us so much that it translates, you know, to TV. But it honestly, a little bit, I mean, kind of different, but it a little bit reminded me of Tiff when people were saying that about her. I don't know if you know about Tiff, but she can also be a bit of a lot. And I feel like there were definitely times when I was like, oh my God, like, oh my God. Like, you know, like, especially like the kind of nights that, you know, the things that you're used to as a person, like when you're trying to go to sleep.
Right.
And someone's shouting or whatever. And I could imagine those things happening with Marianne. But I think also it's like, I mean, for me with Tiff, it was like, this is a lot, but also when I'm broken down and weary, there's someone making me freaking laugh, even though I'm like, stop it. But she's making me laugh. And I feel like Marianne could definitely be one of those people where it's like, sometimes you're like at your wit's end, but then also you're like everyone smiled when she talked, you know what I mean? And that's, it's not a lot of things can make you smile when you're starving.
Yeah, if you're in the right mood for it, yeah, it definitely could be a pick-me-up. I wonder if she may struggle when we get to sort of a merge situation where, and that's like you have a lot, you know, everybody is, you know, looking for somebody who's going to be standing out. And I feel like that she could be that definitely be somebody who I think it would be hard for her to ever be under the radar.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely think all the Matt chat stuff that's going on, I mean, we've talked about it before, but I think Jeff is obsessed with her, you know, and it's understandable because she's giving amazing stuff. And I think it's just going to be one of those things that, like you said, she's never going to be under the radar. And I do think that's pretty hard to actually win when you're that person.
Who was Jeff's go-to person in season 41? Was it you?
I don't know. I don't know that he had like one person that I really felt that way about. I mean, I felt it as me a lot in that one moment with the puzzle and everything.
Yes.
That was like, no, Jeff, stop. But like, that was really him being like, I'm into what, you know, what Evie's doing here. But yeah, I don't know that there was like one person per se, honestly, which, boring answer, but I'm not sure there was one star. I mean, I think he, you know, went to people a lot. I feel like there was more some people that he wouldn't go to as much. If he didn't like the answers that were coming out.
Yeah. Because they were just like short answers, not like TV friendly answers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he wants it to pop, which that's how you get a go-to person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So talk to me a little bit about the decision between Mariah and Marianne. Did you think there was a chance it was going to be Marianne?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did think there was a chance. I feel like the thing that was really freaking me out was when Omar was saying, you know, Marianne's less trustworthy and all that kind of stuff. Cause I had kind of thought, I mean, we also saw some great connecting scenes with Marianne and Omar, like, especially when Marianne made him the mat for his prayers and stuff. So like that definitely threw me that he was going in that direction. But I also think watching it back, there were several times when people definitely said like, I'm getting annoyed with Marianne, but there was also times when people said, I love Marianne. Like, especially Jonathan was saying that he feels really connected with her, that, you know, he really likes her. And you really had no one saying that about Mariah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you need to have someone have stake in you staying in the game. And so I feel like that's probably what it came down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spoke with Mariah earlier today. Mariah also said that Jackson was, a close person for Mariah. So I think that Jackson leaving the game, I think also was something that ended up hurting Mariah.
Right. Definitely. And I listened to that and she was, you know, wonderful on it. And I think she also said, she said something where she said that Omar was her next closest person.
But she said they didn't consummate the alliance, and I didn't want to get too personal. I asked, what does it take to consummate the alliance?
Right. But also, like, I feel like that was also a little bit of a sign for me, because like, I feel like in the episode, the only person that we really saw her with a lot was Lindsay.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of like the two of them being annoyed with Marianne. And so if that wasn't even really her person, that I think just points to, I really think it came down to that, like at the end of the day, Marianne had better relationships, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. Do you feel like that when we saw Lindsay with Mariah close to the end, do you think that Lindsay was potentially babysitting Mariah and making sure she's not going off looking for the idol?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think like when there was also a time where, cause I feel like Lindsay also seemed one of the more anti-Marianne people, but then like you kind of see her go to Jonathan and Omar, and she's saying like, you know, Mariah has a point. And it's very clear if you really watch that she's saying Mariah has a point, but then they kind of cut it there. So I definitely think it was probably, I mean, ultimately it was a unanimous vote, right? So I think Lindsay was on board.
Do you think that Marianne is toast if they go to another tribal council?
It certainly seems that way. And I think from Mariah's exit interview, it also seemed like, you know, she didn't do a great job of handling the Ship Wheel Island comeback story.
Yeah, Marianne,
Marianne didn't. Yeah. So I think, I mean, it seems like the target could be on her back. Clearly people were down to consider letting her go, but you just never know what can actually happen with these dynamics. Like, so it's four people now. Yeah. I mean, it seems like she could be the odd one out, but maybe if you're Omar and you know that Jonathan and Lindsay are super close, but Jonathan's your number one, like maybe you don't want Lindsay there anymore. You know, like, I feel like you'd have to consider from everyone's perspective. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've seen two times now, the shot in the dark has been played in this season. Is that wild for you that, you know, the shot in the dark was, you know, nobody played it up until that vote where, you know, potentially you were saved by the shot in the dark. You love the shot in the dark.
Yeah, it's true. I do.
Yeah. But we see back to back.
Yeah. It's wild. Don't you want it to work one time? I really want to see it happen.
Yes.
Yeah. But not in my case.
Not in your case. Did you think it was interesting that Jeff has started reading the Shot in the Dark votes himself?
Yeah, that was funny. I think the rhythm wasn't right, you know, when the individuals were doing it. But it is kind of funny because you're like, Jeff, I'm playing. I mean, I guess that's what you do with an idol, but it just seems... It's fine. It's like you just can't read it yourself. But Jeff, you know, he loves to read.
Yeah, no, I thought it worked better. Like, it's more dramatic where they're going to stand up and then like you have these amateurs trying to get the string off. And then if they're holding it up in the right spot, like leave it to the pro.
Yeah. I mean, and he is, you know, he's one taking it all. He's doing that. Mm-hmm. No, it is so funny. I mean, I think it really makes sense. Like, I mean, if you look at the early votes in my season, I really do feel like these earlier votes are when it does make more sense. I mean, especially when it only makes sense to do if it's going to be a landslide against you, right? Because I think there were so many votes in my season. Like, if you think of, I know Sarah in my season talked about how she did think about using the shot in the dark, but then it wasn't unanimous. Like, so if, you know, you don't know if your vote's going to matter in some of those situations. So I think obviously really good on Zach and Mariah for both. I mean, they played it right. They just got the wrong scroll, you know? Mm-hmm. I think the fact that they played it right, even though it didn't work, will likely mean that it will get played again. I really think, because the fact that Sydney played it and basically that got her out really was a deterrent. Like, I think after she did that, no one was going to play their shot in the dark. Because it was just like, you don't want that to happen to you.
Yeah. I wonder if the shot in the dark is a thing that, you know, would naturally be played more in the pre-merge as opposed to something that gets played in the post-merge. But because of the tribe with, Uwa. Yes. I still know Yasa, but Uwa, because Shannon Ricard were so good at blindsiding everybody. I mean, just that one tribal council with Voce was the only other time that we have get to see anybody else go to a tribal council.
Which honestly, I feel like Abraham, I mean, he just really like believed his own perspective on what was happening, but I was so worried he was going to use it because I don't think we were being, until the shot in the dark was introduced, which didn't happen until the challenge when Ben Heath went home later that day. We were not being that secret. I felt that he was going to be, you know, the one out. So I feel like that's probably the spot where it could have been used in the pre-merge. But I think the thing is, Shannon Ricard were really good at blindsides. And I feel like there were just like sides, you know what I mean? Where it was like in every one of those votes, someone voted with the person that went home pretty much. Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like people always thought like, okay, well, this person's definitely voting with me, so I'm not going to leave them hanging by not using my vote because, like, maybe we have the numbers. You know what I mean? So I feel like when you have it's only when you have these, like, it's really obvious that your vote's not going to, either everyone's with you or they're all against you, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Beware advantage because I thought we had some emergent strategy this week where Mike found the Beware advantage. And similar to Xander, Mike yep. was showing people about that he found the Beware Advantage. And so he shows it to Daniel. And we see Daniel talk to Chanel about how we do not want there to be idols in the game. How could we stop this from happening? Was this ever a thought that occurred to you as Xander comes to you and says, hey, look, I found this Beware Advantage?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I loved that, Daniel. Like, great, very creative. Loved it. I have to say, they definitely changed the rules a little bit, though.
Okay.
Because Xander was told that he had to say it at that first one. And actually, at first, they told him he has to say it every time. And we thought he was going to say, have to say it.
What happens if he don't?
I don't know. What happens if you don't, if you violate a rule on Survivor? And that, I don't know.
Yeah.
but then they decided he didn't have to say it every time because mm-hmm. that doesn't really make sense. So maybe this is the next level of you just completely do get to decide when you get to say it, which I think is, a great iteration. It doesn't change that much.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to say it.
Of course. And it was very silly that Xander had to say it the second time, like before anyone else said it. Cause like, no, there's no reason why he would do that. And he didn't want to do it. Like, he's, mm-hmm. he's wise in that way. So I like the change. And I very creative of Daniel. I think, in what we saw, I feel like he played it really well with saying to Mike, you're safe. So like, don't activate it now or whatever, I do. How long can that possibly work?
Right.
And if one of the people on the other tribes says it and Daniel is still pushing Mike to not say it, I feel like that's going to be a red flag for Mike. Maybe Daniel will play it off, but how do you stop someone from getting their vote back? Like,
yeah.
And Anna Knight, obviously,
Yeah. I think the only thing you could do is voting. You have to vote Mike out if you really don't want it to happen. If you really don't want there to be idols, and then just hope that the idol doesn't fall back into the wrong hands, or on your as far as your tribe is concerned.
Right. I was very. I mean, it did. Yeah, it didn't occur to me that I could affect the activation potential, which maybe I literally couldn't with the way the rules were. But I feel like the optimal strategy, no matter what, is make the person feel really comfortable with you so that you can, either they get the idol and you blindside them, or you blindside them and you can get the idol, right? That's the only way for those to work out on your side. But I love it. And it's going to be so fun in 43 if they have it again. Now someone's seeing both what happened with the 41 Beware and the 43, like it is, evolution of strategy, man. Like it's really good. Like
it's always moving. Yeah. So what do you think they can do with that in season 43? Do you think that this could just be like sort of like a one and done for year that this is happening? Or do you think that there is a way to evolve this?
Oh, I really hope that they keep, maybe it's hard because then when you have like goofy phrases, now everyone's going to be so on alert for like phrase mm-hmm. whatever, but like, I would keep it. I think it's a really fun way to make sure that there's not like an insane number of idols. And then you have this kind of, it's always more fun when some people do know about the idols. So I don't know. I really hope they keep it. And it would be really fun to see, how the emergent strategy goes. Like maybe someone will actually manage to not tell anyone on their tribe and, seamlessly work it in. The Daniel thing blows my mind. Like now there's so many more iterations than you could have thought of before.
I feel like if they were going to try it again, I feel like that what they might do is like change where you would do it. Like what if you made it like at tribal and made it like after the merge where now mm-hmm. like at the merge feast, like two people find the thing and then they have to say something at tribal to activate the idols.
That's fun. Or maybe they have to do something like say it. Like it would have fun. It was so fun when Xander said that, I like what you said about broccoli.
Yes.
Like maybe there's something where you have to like find someone else in the game and like say a thing to them and they have to say it back to you or like, mm-hmm. and then you have a scene where someone just goes up to someone else and is like, so soccer makes you cry. Right. And they mm-hmm. have no idea what you're talking about.
That would be fun. I think that you probably want the danger of detection where sure. you have, where people can like, you have to do it in front of everybody to like, can you get away with this? And I feel like that's really also baked into the, amulet advantage that we saw mm-hmm. in, last week's episode. Did you like this new twist, that the Survivor 41 cast didn't have to deal with?
Yeah, I think it's really fun. I mean, in general, I don't love when there's like a fake choice, like where it was like, you can decide whether to take this amulet or not. It's like, literally, why would you not take a thing?
Yeah.
When there's no, you know what I mean? And there's not even risk of like that you could be behind in the challenge because everybody else had to wait there for you. You know what I mean? I feel like they could have made it a little, it would have been fun if they didn't have to wait for all each other. And then it was like, you had to decide whether you wanted your tribe to win the challenge more, whatever. But I think as a concept, I mean, it's definitely fun. I mean, like everyone's been saying, I mean, the chances of three people coming together to use an extra vote seem very low. But I think it will be really interesting to see if these people do end up going after each other. I mean, someone's ultimately going to be the last one and get an idol, right? Or I guess if like two of them are in the final six, maybe not. But I think I definitely think it will have a interesting effect on the merge situation.
Yeah. Do you feel like that the work together or go after each other is also a false choice?
I mean, kind of. I think you could cut. I mean, I think it really, it's interesting because I think in terms of the actual what you get, right, definitely it's worth it to get someone out if you get an idol, right? Like, or, you know, if you're leveling up that thing. But I also think, like, you know, from my experience on 41, when you're in a situation, you know, when you get to the merge and there is no swap, right? I feel like I was, everyone saw it, very much clinging to the fact that it's like, I knew Deshaun because I had met him, you know? And I feel like that was definitely a thing. Like Xander was very much like, I know Danny, like we went on the summit and, you know, Tiff and Sydney even who like didn't even like each other on the summit, then were like best friends. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you're kind of I could definitely see that even though they're wary of each other, maybe there is some amount of like, we have this secret together. So I do want to actually have a relationship with this person. I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, it's sort of like, okay, we have the, you know, this relationship, like the Exile Alliance of like, okay, well, you know, this could be huge if we make this work. This is our like secret weapon that nobody's going to see coming.
Right. And imagine, I mean, if they end up doing like a split tribal council again, like they had in 41, like, mm-hmm. I feel like you could definitely see like a steal a vote, you know, mattering a lot if it ends up happening there. So
yeah.
Circling back to the Beware for real quick.
Yes.
I just want to say, I feel like, okay, a minor hot take. I think that like, obviously.
There are no minor hot takes.
Yeah. Well, okay. You tell me how hot the take is after. Okay. You know, everyone's griping about, you know, don't tell people about your advantage as a survivor. Like, yes, I think that's accurate, but it's also just so hard. It's like pretty much seems like very impossible to do. I think the new era information can provide is don't show other people the rules of your new era advantage.
Okay.
Because I think the best thing you have going for you when you get one of these weird things is being the only one to know the rules. You know, and I think what we saw in my season, what you were seeing again, is when you actually give someone else the ability to read the rules, now they potentially have more power than you. Like Daniel understood it maybe even better than Mike, or at least, you know, has all the information that he can now like riff off it. You saw when Mike told Jenny, I mean, it seems like Mike and Jenny are super tight, but she didn't have the full level of all the information of how it works and all the other phrases and everything like that. It was the same thing. Xander let me read his paper. Liana let me read the Knowledge is Power paper. And like having those full set of rules, the full download, let me beat them. You know what I mean? Yes. In that thing. Xander beat me in the game and Liana beat me in the game. But yes. I beat them at that one advantage that time.
So I love what you're saying. How do you execute on that? Where when Daniel says, okay, do you have the clue? Or does he say, I lost it? We don't have time for that right now. Like, how do you make people?
Well, I think as a starting point, I don't know that you need to tell anyone at that. I think in that moment, you don't need to tell anyone that it's, you might as well just say like, I found a thing or, I mean, okay, now I'm back to, it's not good to tell people in general, but maybe you just say you have an idol, but then they might, okay. So you say you lost your vote until, I don't really know. Okay, let's workshop this, Rob. What do you do?
All right. Do you want to be the survivor or should I be the?
I mean, the other thing is, okay, when you're the person, I would say, and it depends on the person, but I was, you know, the one that was receiving the information. I wasn't necessarily pushing for the paper, you know? And I feel like Mike went out of his way to be like, you know, I want you to workshop this with me, you know, like, you know what I mean? But he could have just said, his interpretation.
Say you have the thing, but don't show the thing. I think the fork in the road is, hey, can I see it?
Right. Okay. Hey, can I see it? And then you're just like, I don't want to get caught. We'll get caught with it. Like, I'll show you later. I don't know. Delay that. That's what I would say.
Yeah. I think then people start to wonder, like, is this fake? Is this real?
Right. The other weird thing, and I don't know if this is the case now, is that Xander's Beware idol came with both the Beware advantage rules and a regular idol set of information. Has anyone told you that before?
No, I think this is news.
Yeah, so it was really weird. It had two papers. And that's why, like, he had those in his bag. And that's why when Tiff and Liana looked in his bag, that was part of the paranoia, because then they thought maybe he had two idols because he had these two separate papers. But they were both with the Beware. They both came with the Beware idol. So I wonder if Survivor is trying to allow people to pretend it was a regular idol, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if they kept that, but I don't know if that will apply in every situation.
Yeah, but that seems like a lot. That seems like a lot to unpack for the show.
Yeah,
right. For the people at home also.
Yeah. But I think you just say, like, here are the rules. I buried it. We don't, like, let me explain it to you if you have to. But I really think you're just giving away so much power when you show someone, because even like the fine print that the other person, you know, that you don't necessarily realize, you know,
because I think that somewhere along the way where, you know, there were, you know, around like HHH, like Ghost Island, like I think it sort of became commonplace to say when it was like a lot of, like, you know, I guess like David Wright comes along, is making a bunch of fake idols and stuff like that. And people are like, all right, well, if it's an idol, let me see the note. Like that became sort of like, you know, that's like Survivor, like basic stuff that say, if somebody has an idol, you have to say, let me see the note or it's not real.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you show them just the Beware thing. And then you say like, oh, I burned it. I burned the paper so that no one would know my phrase, but I'm just telling you.
Could you rip part off, Evie? Is that allowed?
I mean, you could, but I feel like that's really obvious, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the other thing is that the paper, at least the one Xander had, it had all the phrases. So now, like, Mike has the potential that he could, you know, be the one to chat with someone like, oh, we're connected. Or Daniel now could know everybody else in the game that has the idols, you know?
I have another question for you about the note. Okay. I feel like in your season that on the note, the other phrases were written, correct?
Yes.
Do you know if that is that the case with the Survivor 42 idol?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm sure someone screenshotted it.
I guess it must have them, because then how would you know what to say?
Yeah, I guess it must, because you have to know, because you have to be clued in of like, yeah, now I should say it because other people did, right? By the way, it seems in the next time on Survivor, I feel like it was hinting that Marianne finds another one. Seems to be the thing. Which, is there anyone who will have an easier time working something crazy into a match?
That's a good point. Yeah.
He looks like every white guy I've had a crush on. Like, that could have been a phrase.
That easily could have been a phrase. I mean, how about that for Zach?
Wow. It's truly incredible. Like, how that's got to make him feel good, right? Like, you would think you're the first boot, you're pretty down on yourself, and then you find out someone in the game loves you. It's awesome.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that's really incredible. And good for Zach.
So funny. I wonder how much, I mean, it sounds like Mariah told him that was a thing, but that must have been so fun to watch back, like, for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it came up both at the challenge and at the tribal council.
Yeah. And just, I mean, I don't know what the state of that is. Maybe.
I don't want to get spoiled.
Yeah. But I just want to say, if you're a man out there who's rejected Marianne, what the heck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, snooze you lose on that one. Like, she's going places, guys.
Yeah.
You know,
boy, I mean, what a great story this would be, though, for Zach and Marianne.
I mean, she said it herself. Imagine you get to the finale and there, but that's the other thing. We don't even have a finale, you know? Maybe that's why this couldn't happen, because wouldn't have the dramatic reveal later, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad.
I gotta say, I mean, I feel like in general, I'm of the vibe of like, I don't feel like, you know, Survivor's making a push towards younger players, and I just feel like almost everyone would be better at Survivor when they're older. But like the romance little plot lines that have not actually translated to anything, but between Marianne and Zach, and we had obviously the little the little something, whatever that was, with Liana and Xander, like the youngins, they bring it, you know?
Right. Like, we don't have too many later days romances on Survivor.
Unfortunately.
It almost has never happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a thing that, as those days go on, you realize it's maybe not the best format for that, but
maybe the closest we ever came maybe was like Coach and Jerry had like a little bit of like a flirtmance on Heroes versus Villains.
That's true. And that was kind of cool because it was like, yeah, they're a little older, but they're hot as hell. You know, that's what I think.
Wow. Yeah.
Jerry. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's really, really fun, you know? And now, okay, next evolution, we've got so many queer players.
Yes.
Let's get a queer love story going. That's what I'm
looking for. That would be the dream, right?
That truly, wow. That's my dream.
Yeah.
I mean, I not for me. I'm
yes,
I'm
not obviously here. Not. Yes.
Off the market, but make it happen. My girl Lydia out there, room for it, you know?
Yes. You mentioned earlier, and I read that you were interviewed also in an article where you said that Lydia, you felt like that you related to Lydia so much.
Yeah, it's funny. And it's not that, you know, it's not that I think that me and Lydia are that the like similar per se, but I feel like just the energy she's bringing, it's just like the kind of like fun person that I like get to experience on some level in my regular life that I just like never, like, it's so funny that there's this like rave kid on Survivor. What, you know what
are
I
you
mean?
A rave kid?
Not at all. Not at all. But I just, it's like, yeah, this thing, it's not like, I feel like there's people that have been maybe more like, I think Lyrsa is probably on some level more like similar to me in some ways, but there's just something about Lydia's energy that I'm just like obsessed with, you know, and it's just like really, really fun to me that she's on the show. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, that's the cool thing about the diversity casting. You can have like wannabe 29-year-old ravers that don't even know that that's what they want. And then they see Lydia on the show.
Wait, are you're a wannabe raver?
I don't know, but she makes it seem so fun.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know people were still raving.
Me either, Rob, you know? I kind of did, I guess. Is that, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. So you were interviewed for Distractify.
Yes.
.com. Yes. An article talking about diversity in the latest season of reality TV.
Yes. Yeah, I was. And I feel like, you know, by the way, yeah, check it out. I'm also going to be doing a weekly, there's a great reporter out there. She's going to be asking me weekly my,
Survivor takes, yeah.
Survivor takes, which I'm sure will all be, you know, quite wrong. And I'm sorry, my girlfriend just texted me. She wants everyone out here to know I have raved before. I've been to a rave.
You, that you, Evie, have been to a rave.
I have been to a rave. I was.
What goes on in a rave, Evie?
Well,
for us later days.
No, I would say ideally you get pumped up.
You get pumped up, yeah.
You know, and. There's music, there's dancing.
EDM.
EDM.
Yep.
Yep. Other acronyms might happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a good time.
Yeah.
But I went to, so there's this one in, sorry, this has gone totally off. Let's circle back to.
We're in exactly the right place.
Okay. You know, now that Survivor is international, US one is international. We got our Canadians.
Yep.
Twice in my life, I've been to the Igloo Fest in Montreal, which is a really
Google this.
Google it. It's a really fun outdoor rave in Montreal in like January, which is obviously freezing. And you wear? Are you seeing pictures?
Okay, Igloo Fest 2020. I mean, that's COVID safe, right? If they're outside, right?
Yeah, it's outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's freezing cold, but you're in like snow suits. And you're, you know, probably on some substances.
Yeah.
And it was one of the funnest nights of my life. I will say.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, it's fun.
Evie, yeah. I didn't know you had this side to you.
Yeah. You know, I got a lot going on, Rob.
Yeah, and well, good for you.
I got multitudes.
Yeah. at Igloo Fest.
Igloo Fest. It's yeah. really fun.
It looks wild. I see a guy in the do you wear costumes?
Well, I wore a giant pink snowsuit. You know, you gotta stay warm in the freezing.
Yes, but yes. I see somebody who was wearing a Monsters, Inc. costume.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
Okay. So, all right. So thank you for telling me about the Igloo Fest. Okay.
Thank you to Carmel for reminding me.
Yes. Yes. But I'm sorry. So go on. What were you saying?
I don't really
remember. The diversity of the cast. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and you know, I think, it's just so clear that when you have a more diverse cast, there's more people for everyone to root for. You know, mm-hmm. it's just so fun.
Well, that's the problem this season. We have too many people to root for.
Right.
We don't have anybody to root against.
Literally. And then you have the people that you think you might, like you get your Jonathans and you're like, he's going to be just like, but no, he's awesome.
He's wonderful. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. great. But, you know. And I think you said this in the exit interview, like it is so hard in these 6-person tribes. Like, I mean, everyone that gets cast is going to be amazing. And it's just so you don't have to do anything wrong to get out on a 6-person tribe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do hope that they go back to doing some bigger tribes in the future. You know, 3 tribes, you know, it's fine once in a while, but it's just like, you know, sometimes just the you know, the ball doesn't bounce your way. And there's really not a lot you can do.
And you got to protect the balls, Rob.
You got to protect the balls. Yes. Yes, you do. Thank you, Daniel. it's very important.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Evie, now I know you have great notes, of course. You are, you know, an accomplished scientist. You have incredible research. I am dying to know what other takeaways did you have from this week on Survivor?
Okay. Here's a generic, I have a section of my notes called Big Picture New Era.
Big Picture New Era.
I'm a visitor from the new era here, you know, an ambassador.
The first member of the new era to join us to break down an episode.
I'm very excited. And that's also so fun because I can say whatever I want and no one has contradicted me yet. But then, you know, you'll have, you know, Tiffany and Voce were on Why Blake Lost. And if you've ever wanted to hear a bunch of people yell at each other for a while, you should.
Yes. Yes.
Check that out. Okay, well, here's just a general thought, and this is more big picture, and then I have some smaller picture. Okay, but I feel like I've heard, and I feel like Gabby in the recap was, and I feel like it's a very common thought of like, new era is just like, it's random, and it's also like, the gameplay is so fast, and well, you know, blah, blah. But I feel like, and I really am curious if this feels true, and maybe it's just because I was on the season that I feel this way, but okay, I feel like there was a time in the late 30s that Survivor was much more game body than it was in season 41. Mm-hmm. Like I think of like season 38, especially Edge of Extinction, where there was like, feels like there was a whole stretch of the merge where it was like, are there alliances? Are there sides? Or is it just like someone makes a move and then everyone gets them out? And it's like Wentworth was War Dog's like number one ally. And he just like got her out kind of for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was this very like game body relationships don't really matter that much.
So do you feel like that people say that season 41 was a game body season of Survivor?
I don't know if it was game bot that people are saying, but just like that it was kind of, that it's like, it's all gameplay. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like fast and random, and I don't know, I guess maybe random was more the thing that I was reflecting on. I feel like in general I've heard, you know, like, do relationships matter in this era of Survivor? Like, does, you know what I mean, does stuff like that matter anymore? You know?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, no, please.
And so so your take is that you feel like that relationships matter more than they did, say, a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, I think that what happens when, I feel like the two things that are really different is, like, first of all, you have this faster paced game with a lot more unknowns, right? Like, these people don't know what's going to happen. They don't know if there's going to be a swap. There's never been 26 days. They don't know if there's going to merge. They don't know
monster,
that the murder,
Evie.
They don't know that there's, I mean, that they actually seem to know that there is a monster.
Yeah, they told them, Jeff told them on the mat. And I recall that you told me when we talked about your game that you heard for the first time at the, you know, makeshift reunion about the monster. Yes. Like, what is this? What monster?
Yes, exactly. Like, the monster, it was born towards the end of 41 and it came fresh to mm-hmm. 42.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like when you have all that uncertainty and you have this quicker thing, all you have, I feel like the relationships actually matter a lot more. That's kind of my feeling. Because, like, you know, if you think, like, and because it's faster, you have less time to stew. You know what I mean? Like, maybe.
Oh, the stew, Evie. You had to bring up the stew. You all undersold the stew.
Stew era. It's the stew era.
He makes the pizza. Yep.
Yeah. But is this making any sense? I feel like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So Stephen and I were talking a little bit about the pairs on, it came up like under do or dies or ride or dies, not do or dies. That's only Deshaun. It's the do or die. There were a lot of pairs in your season where if you go back to, say, like the Edge of Extinction, you know, there were people that were working in pairs, but they often betrayed each other.
Right. And I think, there were a lot of important relationships in season 41. It seems like they're developing in 42. And I feel like part of it is also when you have this diversity casting, there is kind of this, I remember Stephen was saying, you know, that it's kind of funny that people are not funny, but, like, you know, that it seems so different to him that people are just like, here's my story, you know, here's my thing. Mm-hmm. But I think this, because there is this push now, you know, to have, you know, people with more diverse stories, I feel like we all came in thinking, what is everyone's story? You know what I mean? I certainly came in thinking, like, I'm here and I want to talk about, like, being queer. Like, I do want to. And that's part of a reason why I wanted to be here. And it's part of a reason why they cast me on the show. So I'm definitely going to talk about that, you know? And I feel like that also led to, when you are going in there and you're going to talk about, like, these intense things, when you go in there, you know, for someone like Omar going to talk about, you know, being Muslim and what that means to him, and then have it being met by, you know, people of other religions. Like, I just feel like it lends itself to kind of going really deep, really quick. And obviously you saw that with the Black Alliance on my season. And so I feel like some, like, those things make these, like, it makes it harder to vote people out. You know what I mean? It makes it harder to play in that kind of more game body way.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it also has to do with, I feel like that there was maybe not as much talk about resume in season 41, where I feel mm-hmm. like that some of the seasons, like late 30s, there's a lot of, like, thinking about, like, oh, what's my resume? You know, what am I doing to sort of, like, when I stand in front of the jury?
That is very true. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, it's interesting. I feel like it really, yeah, it feels like there was a kind of sense of, like, we're looking, you know, we had a shared feeling of, like, what it means to be, like, good in this game. And it was very, like, I think it was very much on the, like, social connections and things like that. You know, you see someone like Shan, who's such a, you know, social player, and was, I feel like, yeah, it's interesting. It was not like, what did you do? It was kind of, who are you and what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think also in terms of when it, you know, came down to the ultimate, like, jury phase, I think also the fact that it is shorter, like, these events that happened way closer to Final Tribal than in a typical 39 day season. So I think also some of the emotions and the hurt feelings and things like that are rawer potentially just because it's literally been less time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe added some element of, like, personalness that maybe is less if you have, you know, 2 weeks to be, you know, thinking about something versus, you know, a week or something.
Okay. Big picture, new era. I'm on board.
Okay. Think about it. You know, that's from one person's new era experience. We'll be curious to see how that goes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's go for some small picture.
Small picture. Okay. New era.
Okay. That crab. big picture, the crab that Chanel and Jenny got, big crab moving so slow.
Big, fat, juicy crab. Yeah, because big Tiffany, Tiffany, you know, has told us on many occasions about how she was the great crab hunter. Well, if the Yasa crabs were anything like that, that is nothing to brag about.
No, they were not like that. I must insist that was a very slow. Like, I was worried about that crab. Like, what's going on? Yeah, you know,
there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, it looked great. Oh, should we? Can we talk a little about the about the high?
Please, please, yeah.
Wow. First of all, loved it. Really interesting. I mean, you don't think about when they're going to do something like change up that there's not going to be rice. You don't think about how it's going to differentially impact people, right? And obviously, you know, someone who doesn't eat meat, that's going to impact him so much more. I really wonder. So there's obviously the element of how is it going to affect him physically. I mean, it seems like he ultimately did eat the crab, right?
Right.
I really wonder if that's going to have an impact on him socially in any way. Because, I mean, I was thinking about it. I feel like the times when we had food, it's like the happiest time.
Yes.
You know, it's like if we had had one of those big juicy crabs, we would have been like so happy.
Big, fat, and just juicy crabs. Yeah.
Big, fat, juicy crabs.
Yes.
You know, we would have been so happy and just like been like talking about how happy we were at the crab, blah, blah. And then you have one person who, for completely understandable personal reasons, is conflicted about the crab. And you kind of, that scene was very interesting. You know, like they're all standing up and like excited, and High's kind of sitting down. So I really wonder how that's going to play out.
Do you now, in season 41, were there any vegans? Was Shan vegan?
Yes. So Shan is vegan in life, but she, in preparation for Survivor, ate some fish like that.
Do you think that Survivor should tell High, and is this unfair, that should he get to make that choice before he comes to play to know that as a vegan, that this is a season that you are not going to have any rice?
That is really interesting.
If he's coming in thinking like, hey, well, I'm a vegan, I'm just going to eat the rice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's honestly a fair point. Like, and you can imagine, I was thinking that, like, so I grew up kosher. Mm-hmm. When I stopped keeping kosher before, you know, a couple years before my Survivor time. But, you know, you think about someone, you know, if you had someone who is keeping kosher or something like that, and you think, hi, you know, I'll eat the rice and it won't be as much food as everyone else, but I'll be okay. And then you have this curveball where it's like, you literally, you know, cannot really play the game if you don't eat, eat things that you don't want to eat. It's hard. I mean, I think realistically, if you're going on Survivor, you should probably expect that you might have to eat. I mean, I think the rice is not that much, right? You probably really need to be eating other things if you can get them. But that's interesting. I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's ethics?
I don't know. I wonder if, you know, maybe if they might, when High is applying and he's vegan, if they say to High, like, hey, you know, we don't give rice every single season. I just hope you know that that's a possibility. Like, you know, I think that, you know, I think that that would be a good thing to say to High, so High doesn't like say like, oh, okay, well, if that's the case, then, you know, I'm out. I can't do this.
Yeah, super true. And I think the food stuff in general, I mean, obviously, you know, they wanted to make it really hard and everything, but I think there's a variety of different types of people that it would really impact to be like surprised the food situation is really different than you might anticipate. And obviously I know Survivor was trying to make it hard, but like, you know, you know, there are people out there who like have had, you know, eating disorders and things like that. And then to find out that your food is restricted in a way that you don't anticipate, like it just really, it can really mess with people.
Yeah.
And I get it, you know, that's the show, but
yeah, I say, who cares? Who cares with all this, like whether it's no food or a little food, just give them something to eat. Well, it's not like it is not adding so much to the show to, you know, just like it's less fun, I find, to watch it on TV that they have nothing.
I mean, and then you give us no rice and tell us that it's like the hardest season ever. And then we say that on camera and everyone makes fun of us.
Well, you took the bait.
So it's a lose-lose all around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and we didn't even show, I was throwing up like every day in the premiere.
Why?
From like run down, from not, from like being so empty, I really feel like And they didn't even show that. That was great suffering content, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, who is this for? Well, I mean, we don't need to watch like this torture porn. Like, give people like a little bit of food. They're still going to be super hungry. They're still going to go nuts when you say it's an Applebee's for the reward. And you know, give them enough that they can, you know, function.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, and even like, I feel like the rewards were obviously way less on season 41, and I assume they will be for 42. And it's just like, isn't part of the fun that they're all starving and then you give them something freaking awesome and they're like freaking out, you know? Like, yeah. It's not that fun to have people be like, grilled cheese. I mean, I like grilled cheese, but you know.
It's fine. You say it like Jeff.
Grilled cheese.
Yeah.
It's not, it's no stew, Rob.
No, no. I mean, you totally undersold the stew. So, all right. What, any other small takes?
Okay. Well, this is a middle take. I mean, Daniel and Chanel, obviously.
It's not a mid take.
What's a mid take?
It's not that good.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. I have nothing to respond to that. So I'm just going to say my thing.
Yes.
Okay. Daniel and Chanel. I mean, we already talked about that Daniel and, you know, his creative thinking with the idol. I really like that. Mm-hmm. I also feel like a subtle thing was that when Hai was having his moment, Chanel and Daniel were the two that were with him, comforting him. So that, I really feel like Daniel and Chanel are like the middle pair in that tribe and are just like in such a good spot. Cause you've got like Mike telling them stuff. You got them comforting Hai.
Yeah.
I feel like,
I think those two are in a pretty good spot just from like an amateur, like edit reading perspective. Also, like, I feel like that when we saw the pairs, like, I feel like that the focus of the three pairs was on, Daniel narrating that, you know, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, pair up with Chanel.
Definitely. Definitely. And I was also kind of worried about that because I was like, are these two just pairing up because they're the last two? Mm-hmm. But it seems like they're really like a pair, you know?
Yeah. So, and a very functional pair.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here's a random different thing. Did you know, Rob, that Jeff Probst loves love?
He has on occasion, you know, been around love. He he offered to perform wedding services for Figgy and Taylor.
Right.
Famously, he's loved being around Robin Amber.
So I feel like typically he is confused about love and needs people to describe
it. Oh, that's true. Yes, yes. He does love seeing, what's it like to love a brother?
It's not a parent, Rob.
It's not a parent.
So I love that. I mean, that was great. Give us the Jeff Probst Love Island hosting. That, you know, I'm here for that.
Yeah,
you know?
That could be very good.
I mean, he's good at hot dummies on islands. Like,
he's had a lot of experience, and it seems like that. You know, the Jeff. You know, actually, can I ask a question? And tell me if you think I'm, you know, out of bounds here. But the Jeff that you experienced in Survivor 41. He seemed to be a kinder, gentler, more warm overall Jeff. Now, did you find that to always be the case during the production of season 41?
I honestly really did. And I feel like, you know, you listen to enough of these things. There's definitely some like rumors of him being not nice.
I want to say like stern at certain points in some of the down moments of like, hey, look, we're doing this. Stop screwing up.
Right. I will say, the sternest I experienced him was being on the jury. He hates when the jury's too loud. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yeah.
So there's definitely
understandable.
Understandable.
Maybe he's getting more mellow in the later days.
I think that's one of the later days side effects potentially. I mean, I think also there was such a feeling from him on 41 of just how ecstatic he was that the show was back. And I'm just sure that the year off and figuring out like all the different logistics and everything was so hard and frustrating for him as like the executive producer and everything. Mm-hmm. I think he's just like really freaking happy about the show. And I think also he loves people that love Survivor. And now they're like only casting people that love Survivor, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like some of the meanest era of Jeff is people that are just like, don't
right
care,
people that don't know? Get the show, like you know, aren't giving them anything, and now you put people on the show that only are like Marianne and like you know, ecstatic to be there,
right? And also I think he's much more involved in casting now than he used to be, mm-hmm. you know. And I think again, like, if they're selecting for people that Jeff likes, he's gonna be happier, you know.
Yeah, do you feel like that having Jeff involved in the casting, he's more invested in the players in these seasons as opposed to the people that they just sort of like, you know? I think he always like had a say, but mm-hmm. you know, there were people that were not necessarily his picks.
I definitely think so. And you know, you like, you know, to know that he talked to you, he had he listened to all your stuff and like had an investment in you. It definitely just like, I feel like he's more invested in you and you are more comfortable with him on some level, right? Which just makes for a warmer vibe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else from the notes, Evie?
Okay. I can't let this go. As you know, Rob, you're very gracious and always calling me Dr. Evie Jagoda. The listeners probably know I have a PhD in human evolutionary biology.
Yes.
And my boy Darwin was mentioned on Survivor.
Yes.
And I would like to talk about it.
Please do.
Okay. So at Tribal Council, should I read these quotes?
So, okay. So let me set up. So we have a clip here. So this is from Tribal Council. And so here is... Omar talking about what is he referencing?
You know, just the situation.
Okay.
Them being at Tribal Council.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's listen in on Omar at Tribal Council.
The bookend to coming out here and feeling like you can bond with people is that now you feel some level of moral obligation to be a little more honest than you might want to be, but you can't be too honest.
Yeah, right. Like, you don't want to lie to their face, but at the same time, it's like Darwin's theory of evolution. Like, there's a selection pressure on us now, especially with the shot in the dark, where everybody has to think that they're safe, but not everybody is going to be safe.
Jonathan, it's just a natural sweat.
Let's take them one at a time.
All right, okay. Yes, a selection theory.
Okay. So, okay. Let's all, I just want to, you know,
selection pressure.
Okay. So first of all, just PSA, evolution is a theory, like gravity is a theory, you know, theory in science means it's like, it's fact. It's just, you can't, like, mm-hmm. it's not mm-hmm. a law, but it's really, really factual.
Yeah. We're not here to debate evolution.
Cool.
On the podcast. Okay. Yeah.
Omar, he's a veterinary doctor. He obviously knows about evolution. I'm not trying to nitpick him, but I don't really know what this analogy means. And I perked up, you know, Rob. This is my dream come true, yes. You know? It's Survivor. Darwin is here. I'm like raring to go. And it's just like there's a selection pressure on us now, especially with the shot in the dark, where everybody has to think they're safe, but not everyone's going to be safe. It just, it's not doing it for me, Rob, you know, mm-hmm. because a selection, I mean, okay, there's somewhat, okay. Selection pressure is like the reason why some of the individuals have to die. There's like some environmental, like that's just life, the okay. survival of the fittest. Not everyone is going to survive and reproduce the same amount because there's pressures on us that are going to make some individuals more fit than others. That's like the starting premise. And the shot. So in the Survivor analogy, okay. So you've got, someone's got to be voted off and there's maybe more of a selection pressure because there's a shot in the dark, but then he goes to everybody thinks they're safe, but not everyone's going to be safe. We've lost it. And I'm getting into it. We've lost it though.
I think that you're probably on these tribal councils, you know, it's 5 days in, you're not really eating. We get into the word salad a little bit.
I agree. And I think
just like
I
with
think
Zach, it sounded good when I said it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think as someone who I think people were often trying to get to say evolution metaphors, I probably thought about these a lot more than the average tribal counselor. But you know who has had food, Rob?
Jeff.
And has Jeff has had food. So I would like to go to the next part of this.
Okay. All right.
Now, especially with the shot in the dark, where everybody has to think that they're safe, but not everybody is going to be safe.
Okay.
Jonathan, if it's a natural selection or if it's survival of the fittest, you're basically saying, how do I make sure I don't come back here by keeping the people who are with me strong enough to win challenges?
Right. That's really... Okay.
Okay. So actually,
what's wrong with that, Evie?
Actually, the first part of it from an evolution metaphor was pretty good, right? Because I think natural selection operates on the individual, right? You want to be the most fit because if you're the most fit, you're going to have the most offspring and then your genes will be passed on the most, right? So
in survivor terms, you get to play more and more times.
Exactly.
Yes, multiple appearances and features. Yes.
Well, you might have, different goals like Marianne.
Mm-hmm. Or they cast more archetypes that are just like you because you're such a good character.
Yes. Wow. Oh,
yes.
That's next level, right? Okay. But then Jeff really puts his hand on the scale and says that the optimal way to do that is to keep the people who are with you strong enough to win challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rob, he's just dictating what your evolutionary strategy is going to be. I'm not down for that.
Okay. Evie, okay. Well, then could you give us the correct evolution metaphor for the shot in the dark?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. Here's what would have been really cool if Jeff had said. Okay, so it's survival of the fittest. You've got these selection pressures on you, and now you, as an individual, have to decide the optimal strategy for yourself. Are you going to go? See, this is what I'm saying. If you have different options, you could go for challenge strength. It would just been so easy. You could go for challenge strength and try to be like the strongest individual out there. For example, like Paranthropus Boise. Rob, ever heard of these guys? A human relative from 2 million years ago?
No.
That had really
no. I thought this was another rave.
No.
In
how
Idaho.
Much people with my rant about this evolution thing, that's not really anything, Rob. No. Are we in it?
This is great. This is great.
Okay. Rob, 2 million years ago-ish, okay? The weather in the African savannah, it got drier, okay? And a lot of the food sources for the human ancestors dried up.
Okay.
So there were kind of, which is a selection pressure, much like tribal council and the shot in the dark. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And multiple strategies evolved, which is kind of crazy. So one thing that evolved is the path that leads to Homo sapiens, which is that some species started having bigger brains and using tools. That's us. Okay. But there was this whole offshoot branch of human evolution, these Paranthropus things, which are like a human cousin. And instead of getting smarter, Rob, they get really big jaws and really thick skulls so that they could just chew up like nuts.
Anything.
And roots.
Yeah.
Anything. And that's the challenge strength winning path. But that didn't work out for them. So maybe you don't want to go that way and you want to go big brain and do your own thing. And I'm shocked that Jeff didn't say this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm following you on the, that these are the two different directions you could take the evolution of your tribe. How does the shot in the dark factor to that?
See, the shot in the dark really just changes the strength of the selection pressure.
Yes.
The thing. Because the selection pressure already exists in that someone's going to be voted out. And so I think with the shot in the dark, what the shot in the dark does is maybe changes who might be the fittest in that scenario. Now maybe blindsiders are going to be better off or something like that.
Well, let me just put the evolution on the side for one moment. If we might, Dr. Jagoda.
I'll allow it.
For the Ika tribe or for the Taku tribe that we've seen these last 2 weeks, both had a decision to make basically between two potential boot options. Mm-hmm. Did the shot in the dark matter at all for anybody other than for Tori or for Marianne? Did the shot in the dark matter at all?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't think so. And if anything, it seems like, I mean, it sounded like people were maybe worried that Marianne had an idol, like from going to Shipwheel Island. So I feel like there were other pressures more involved.
Maybe.
Right?
Okay. So maybe perhaps the bigger concern was Marianne playing her idol.
Right. I mean, and the other thing is evolution and also Survivor is an individual game. It's not a group game. So selection doesn't operate on the tribe. It operates on the individual. So it's not really about, do you want your tribe to win? Unless that's a good strategy for you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, great job with that. I love a deep dive into tribal council analogy.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to critique myself, I think the thing is that these weren't that bad, but I just really want
it's your wheelhouse.
It's just my wheelhouse, Rob.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, if somebody was like, you know, it's kind of like you're doing a podcast out here. I'd be like, wait, that's not what it's like. Actually, you have to have a backup recording and make sure that you have the guest booked. You know. Yeah.
But so, people should look up Paranthropus because it's really crazy. Seriously. Okay.
All right. Where can people learn more about that?
Probably Google. Honestly, your local natural history museum. If you go to New York Natural History Museum, there's great skulls. DC has got a great one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post the picture after this. Now,
did you like that when Deshaun did the do or die? There were skulls on the ones that were die.
You know what, Rob? Since we're on video,
yes.
I love a skull.
Okay, I'm going to go full frame on Evie here. Is this real?
No, this is a replica.
Okay.
Of a real Neanderthal skull that was found in France. It's like a really cool burial. And actually, this skull was buried in a way that with the rest of the body in a way that makes people think that Neanderthals buried their dead.
Yes.
Which is a very complex, very human-like thing to do. Bury mm-hmm. your dead. And my PhD supervisor gave me this for my graduation. So, love a skull.
Yeah.
Very pro-skull.
Okay. incredible. Well done. Is that with your other Survivor challenge props?
It's all in this room, but they're not all as accessible. Mm-hmm. Speaking of yes. Survivor, you got to have this.
I love
skull,
a prop
right?
guest. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Survivor challenge props,
yeah.
I practiced being the caller.
Oh, I meant to ask you that. Yes. You practice a blindfold challenge. Yes.
Yes. You know, I did. You know, I'm all about the preparation.
Okay.
Because the thing that I couldn't decide about me is, okay, here are the factors I was weighing. I'm very accident prone and would likely get extremely hurt if I was a blindfolded.
Yeah.
I also have a very loud voice. Like, I mean, you don't need a
great
microphone.
Speaking voice. Yes.
Thank you. And I've been told, you know, ever since I was a kid, get in trouble in class because my voice, quote unquote, carries. It's loud. Okay.
Yeah.
It carries. You can hear it.
In there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like I would have been really good, but I also don't have great spatial awareness. So it's a toss up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think here's the thing. People really optimize the caller to be the loud person, which is obviously important, but they got to be able to solve the puzzle, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this hits close to home because in Survivor All-Stars, the challenge where I got voted out was the blindfold puzzle. Yep. And I wanted to be the caller. And then Alicia, who had done this challenge in Survivor, the Australian Outback, said, no, I need to do it. And in fairness to Alicia, she did do a good job. I mean, she almost got Big Tom killed, but she did do a good job that they got to but they didn't have the puzzle team.
Right. But like, what was it? Wait, was it blindfolded for that one? Cause like Boston Rob,
they were not blindfolded. Yeah. Famously, this is the only time Boston Rob can't do a puzzle on Survivor. Yeah, right, they're right. Like, oh my God, Boston Rob, he's a master at puzzles. This day, not his best day. Although, and then maybe by, you know, also Winners at War, he kind of maybe lost that ability.
Yeah. But I hate to say it, Rob. It worked out for him, you know, in that season.
It worked out fine for him. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And if we're being fair, you know, I'm not complaining either.
True.
Look at me. Look what I'm doing right now.
Killing it as a podcaster.
I'm talking about right this moment.
Yeah. Oh, talking to me?
Yeah.
It led you here?
Yeah.
It's great, Rob. Yeah. You're so nice.
How can I complain?
You're too kind.
We're
Rob.
In the new era. We're still going.
Yeah, dude. Did you ever think you'd make it from you know, You're like, you're OG, Rob. I mean, season six.
Yeah. Look, you know, like once upon a time I was out there talking about my crushes.
It's true. And Jeff used to yell at you when you talked about your crush. He likes it when Marianne does it.
Yeah, all of a sudden he loves love. But back when he was like doing like entrapment with like, so like, what, like, anybody catch your eye over there? And then, you know, we're talking about who's the BFJ and whatnot. It's like, oh, real serious, guys. That's, you're going to be a short tribal council of a whole bunch.
Love, Rob. He loves love.
Loves love. Yeah. Okay. Look.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, maybe double standard from Jeff.
It's fair. I do think it was more endearing for everyone when Marianne did it. I think we can all feel pretty good about that.
I wanted to ask you about the Ika tribe, which we didn't really talk about too much.
Is that blue? Sorry,
blue,
I don't know.
Blue, yeah. Okay. So we saw Drea come to talk with Swathi and Tori. And pitch them on the idea of, hey, the women need to stick together. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, everybody's like, okay, great. As she also mentions, I have an extra vote. Swathi says, actually, maybe we should just get rid of Drea. Would be very interested to know what you thought about that, considering where the Yasa women had, you know, a working agreement back once upon a time during season 41. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, obviously love me a woman's alliance when it actually happens. And they don't even know that the women's winning streak is broken. So I know that was weighing on all of our minds, like very much so. I really wonder what would have happened. I mean, it feels like this was too late. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you're gonna it was just interesting timing that she were to introduce this now after the whole, I feel like, go to Tori and pitch Women's Alliance when Tori's on the block. You know what I mean? And then she's like really going to be excited about that. And it seemed like, honestly, Tori probably would have gone either way, you know, would have been maybe more into that if Swathi hadn't. But I think it seems like Drea, I mean, she just is really, really out in front. Like, you know, she went to the, you know, Shipwheel Island, and she's obviously the most physical in so many ways. I feel like she just had the wrong read on the relationships, I feel like. But Swathi also rejected so quickly. So yes. I don't know.
I thought that was surprising that she thought so quickly about switching it up. But do you think, is it a mistake to go to two people at once and suggest an alliance, as opposed to, is it the better move to talk to Tori one-on-one and feel her out, and talk to Swathi one-on-one and feel her out?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a better approach. And especially, you know, if you can really... It feels more meaningful, right? When someone's coming to you with an alliance. Again, like, I really feel like, going back to, like, you want to have individual people feel like they have an individual stake in you staying in the game, right? So I think that might have gone better. I really wonder what would have happened if she hadn't also revealed the extra vote. Like, I think that also might have tipped the scales, you know?
Very interesting.
Yeah. But I also think if you're Swathi, for example, I mean, and it's really hard because we don't know the full swath of the relationships there.
Yeah. Yes. Well done.
It seems like Swathi has a good relationship with Roxroy. I don't know what her relationship is with Romeo. I'm just playing it out. It's like, you want to keep all your options open. Why not just like go with it? Get a Gaia. But then I think it seems like the guy would probably be Roxroy, not Romeo. It'd be kind of nice for Swathi to maybe get Romeo out. Maybe she's got more options with that. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like that, going back from the first vote, that Roxroy is Swathi's person. And so maybe she's trying to protect Roxroy. I'm not sure. We didn't see in that conversation necessarily, I don't believe, that they threw a name out there. And I know that Drea is tight with Romeo. Swathi is tight with Roxroy, seemingly. And Tori is the person, like, that doesn't have a person.
Right. I don't know why, but I feel like Tori has legs in the game. I don't know. I mean, like, I just feel like she was very bold in the last episode. And it, like, it was a really, like, it sounded like, you know, Drea was coming for Tori, like, from the exit interview. And she went to the person. And, you know, even though she's, like, definitely, like, weird and, like, the social connections, I don't think Tori necessarily can win. Because I think these social issues ultimately, like, will, like, you know, be a problem. But I just think she could take, I think she's down to play really hard. And I feel
she's self-interested,
She's extremely self-interested and just, like, I feel like she doesn't, like, doesn't give an F, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she'll do whatever it takes to survive. So I don't know. I'm interested to see that.
Yeah. I think that she did a really good job last week with, you know, I sort of, you know, she got sort of a, you know, Dodo edit with some of the stuff with, you know, like, oh, this is how I'm going to make relationships with the young people. But then when push came to shove and then she, you know, took Drea aside one-on-one to then, you know, have it out. And then they came away with making an alliance. Like, I think that's actually like a really good move that I think that, you know, it'd be fun to see more people's relationship. Like, hey, Evie, can I have a word with you? Like, I was like, but then actually like, you know, form something.
Totally. And I really feel like so much of the time that would solve the problem. Like I think about like, you know, at the merge in mind, if me and Deshaun had just been like, yo, why are we coming for each other? Let's like, actually like sort this out. And we did try to talk, but there were like too many people around, you know what I mean? If we had one-on-one sat down, it could have like gone so differently. Like I feel like it's a bold move. I feel like maybe, even though again I don't know how it's gonna work out in terms of people's like ultimate feelings towards her when she gets to final tribal, you know, if that happens, but I think having a little bit of that like brashness, which makes her kind of awkward socially, could make for you to be able to make better, bolder moves than someone that is a little more self-conscious might not think of, you know?
Yeah.
So like, and and in that conversation with Drea, she was like, seemed like totally down for it. And then Swati was like, no, let's get Drea out. And Tori was like, totally down for that, you know? And like, that's good. I feel like, you know?
Yeah. I've seen a little bit on social media and on Reddit, people have compared Tori to potentially like an Angelina, where she could be the type of character who is, you know, self-interested at times, but also could be somebody who ends up like having that kind of longevity in the game.
Right. And like I said, it's like, I actually think Angelina played great in so many of her moves, but the social thing, I mean, ultimately you need to get people to want to vote for you. So I don't know. I could see Tori having that, that fate ultimately.
Okay. Evie, let's bring in some questions from the listeners of the podcast. If we can, let me actually go back to something that you had said last week, where you were listening to the podcast with the great Gabby Pascuzzi that we did last week. But you felt like that Gabby betrayed you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Blindside. Okay. First of all, obviously love Gabby. Like that was obviously a joke in terms of that.
Yes.
But so yes. So Gabby, you know, is an actual social scientist, social psychologist, right? That's her field. So I love the Enneagram. And I was thinking even after I tweeted, it's like if someone was like, Evie was like, you know, Sapiens isn't that real. And it's like the pop
side theory of Enneagram.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But let me, I mean, I really think if people don't know about the Enneagram, they should listen to the podcast you and Chappelle did about it. I think it was really fantastic. Yeah.
Well, he is like, you know, my guru, when it comes to, the Enneagram.
Yeah. So I will say, you know, I am a scientist, but I don't think that the Enneagram is like, I don't really believe in stuff where it's just like, you are this and you just like, you're, you know, I've decided that you are that. But I really do think compared to so many other personality things that the Enneagram just for me personally is a really extremely useful tool that has really helped me understand a lot about myself and other people. And I really do like, I'm not saying that that means it's like actually, you know, scientific or whatever, but like actually one of the psychologists on the Survivor staff, who is, you know, her job is that she's a personality scientist for Survivor.
Oh, interesting.
You know, was a huge fan of the Enneagram. And she and I would talk about it all the time. And wow. I've learned so much from talking to her about it. I typed a lot of people at Ponderosa. So
that sounds really, really fascinating. Do you feel like that they try to cast certain personality types, like for like, are some better I guess my question is, I'm all over the place, is is Survivor better with like a diverse type of or is there like a certain personalities that are best for Survivor?
Yes, I think as an overall cast, you ideally want a lot of different types, right? Like with anything. But I definitely think that there are probably types of personalities that are more likely to win Survivor. I think this is okay to say. So I'm a two wing three. Okay.
Okay. So, I didn't know that.
So the two is like the helper.
Yes.
So, you know, my primary motivation as a two, and I'll just say like, this has been very true in my life. I'm not just saying that someone was like, boom, you're a two. I don't think, by the way, don't take an Enneagram test. Take an Enneagram test to tell you what types you should read up about and then read them and decide which one feels mm-hmm. most like
yeah.
is my first.
See, I thought you were a seven like Chappelle because you go to raves.
No. I'm not a seven. Not a seven. But sevens are great. Sevens are so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, but you know, that's the thing. All the types. Yeah. You're a nine. Nines are wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You were down on being a nine. I felt like when you heard
when I learned more about it, I felt better about it.
Yeah. But anyway, so two is like my main motivation is I want to be loved. And I feel like the way that I will find love is by being helpful to people and like doing stuff for them. And like, you know, that's the simplified thing, right? Mm-hmm. But then the three is also want love, but they think that they'll get love through achievement and like winning.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm allowed to say this. Erica is a three. Okay.
Okay.
The winner of Survivor 41 is a three.
An achiever.
She's actually, I'm a two wing three and she's a three wing two.
Oh, okay.
And I honestly feel like that's right. It's like we're similar in a lot of ways, but at the end of the day, she cared more about actually winning than where I'm like more caught up in like, does Jeff like me? Do the producers like me? How's this going to look on TV? You know what I mean? I got a lot of other things happening and like, you know, going on. And she's like, I'm going to win this and that's how I'll get the love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think threes are really good. Are likely to win because they're all about winning. I think eights is another type. So eights are like all about control. I think there are a lot of eights on my season. And you know, Boston Rob, like that's the ultimate eight. Is like I'm going to try to like control it. And so I really think that probably was once a common mm-hmm. winning trip. I don't know if you can as much win as an eight anymore because
I think that's very fair. Yeah. What do you think Marianne might be?
Wow. I mean, it's really, really.
We don't really know them. And you really it'd be best to ask Marianne.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, I definitely think she could be in the like two. So the two wing three. So the two is the helper. The two wing three is the entertainer, which is kind of like somewhere in between. It's like you're the host. It's like you want to be friends with everyone. You want everyone to be your friend. Like she could definitely be somewhere in that spectrum, you know, that wouldn't shock me at all. Mm-hmm. And she's like a divinity student, right? So I think, you know, that's like a helping field. Like you could have, you know, mm-hmm. I could definitely see that. But also, so sevens, you brought up sevens, like fundamentally don't want to have like pain. And they're always like, so sevens, it's like if something is scary, they're just like, F it, I'm going to go on a trip or whatever, you know, which is obviously a simplification of everything.
Going to Igloo World.
Go to Igloo Fest. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I really don't know Marianne that well, but I can also see, you know, she's like at all times, you know?
How about this? Did you get to know Jeff well enough that you know what Enneagram type Jeff might be?
I think Jeff's probably an eight. I think Jeff's probably an eight.
Oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, he runs the damn show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think you can, I think that level of being in control of like that level of thing. And it's not like he started as the host and it was like, over time, this became the Jeff Probst thing. You know what I mean? That's very 80. But, I, you know, don't know. But I could see him as an 8 with a 7 wing. So he's got the control thing, but he's also got the adventurer thing. I mean, look at him, you know?
Yeah.
He's easy at the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I hope that the people, the Gabby Pescuzzis out there, could indulge us this Enneagram talk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
we can talk more offline about this, but
listen to the Chappelle podcast.
Yeah, it's really great. I think it's at robswebsite.com/Enneagram. If you ever want to listen to Chappelle taking me through what all the different Enneagram types are. And I do think that that would be very fun to try to guess what more of the survivors are. Based on what we know of them from TV.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's better than talk. I don't feel like it's great to share about, you know, people that I really know. Cause it's like, you know, they're real, you know, but I think Erica will be okay with it. Hopefully Erica, love you. Girl.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
I think, $1 million, you know?
Yeah. I think everybody's okay. Like, you know, you're a 3, like,
you're a 3.
Yeah.
You won.
Pretty good.
You're the winner, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Patrick Wells once said, do you think the Taku kept Marianne over Mariah to use her as a fan favorite shield for later on after the merge? Now, I've never heard this term before. Do you think, is that a thing? The fan favorite shield?
I personally don't know that that's a thing. I feel like you're not necessarily thinking in those terms. I mean, so, like Mike White was thinking in those kinds of terms, right?
Well, he was to a point, and then he's like, well, we have to get rid of this person. Do you think, is that even a thing? So, and forget like fan favorite, but is there sort of like, okay, Marianne is going to, I guess in the same way, like the traditional meat shield, everybody's going to be focused on them, but is Marianne an effective distraction in any way that if you are say for, and I'm like, say you're Jonathan, where the type of person where everybody's going to be looking at Jonathan, you know, is Marianne enough of a diversion where people might potentially be thinking about her when you go to the merge, as opposed to, hey, we have this giant guy who, you know, people seem to like, we need to vote him out.
Right. It's interesting. I mean, I feel like with Marianne, it's really hard to tell. Like, I feel like that could be the case if you think of her as someone like, that's super duper like likable, endearing, like the Elaine. I feel like Elaine is a very good metaphor of like, clearly everyone's going to love her, but then it's like very like galaxy brain to be like, everyone's going to love her, so therefore they're going to try to get her out. So then they like, won't try to get me out. I think it's a lot more, I think the first order of magnitude is like, everyone will like her and therefore might get me out over her. You know what I mean? I think that's, but it's really, but then it's like with Marianne, maybe she's also coming off a little silly that like, could she, you know, it really depends on how people ultimately are perceiving her, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
How about, from Marco, who wants to know, if you were in the season, Evie, which tribe would you want to be a part of? Okay. We could drop you off with one at one of these beaches. Who would you want to be on a tribe with?
That is hard. I don't think that I would have fun with the Roxroy vibe.
Good tribe.
Yeah, just in terms of the like work doesn't sound that fun.
That was sort of like the Abraham.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Abraham wasn't like bossy so much in that way, but if it was a bossier Abraham, hell no. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that doesn't seem that fun. I never even said, by the way, I think Romeo doing great. Great.
I think so too. I felt like that Romeo was not getting a lot of love in the preseason.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think I guess you could see him as like a high variance situation, but I think he's doing really, really well. I think he's.
Yeah. Sort of a slow week for the Ika tribe. They didn't really get too much going on, but I thought he had a really great premiere.
Definitely. And he continues to, I feel like, again, it's like Drea. I don't think Drea, when she said we're going against the men, meant Romeo. You know what I mean? So I think.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Zach had told me that, you know, Roxroy was throwing out Drea's name, and Drea, we saw in the episode throughout Roxroy's name. So I just feel like that group of three that we saw may not be as tight as you would think.
Definitely. But I think that what it sounded like what Zach was saying is that, but Romeo and Drea is very close. Potentially. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's a, and I think it's perfect for him that the heat is more on Drea. You know what I mean? Like, so I think he's one to watch.
In some way, maybe Tori's the swing vote in this tribe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think she's in an interesting spot. I mean, I want to see more of Swati, like what, you know, where that goes. But I think especially with Tori being as self-interested as she is, that gives her all the power in some ways, right?
And well, Tori's the swing vote potentially, but, you know, we also, you know, got in the first episode that she's the one who's reading a Beware Advantage. So she's the swing vote. Who could lose her vote? Where Drea might have to play her extra vote.
True. To get, but maybe then, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I hope that tribe goes back to tribal because I feel like the dynamics are fun.
Yeah. I mean, you could see a scenario where, okay, well, Drea's like, they lose a challenge. Drea's like, okay, great. You know, we gotta go to Roxroy. And then Tori's like, bad news. I don't have a vote. You know, and Swathi's not with us. So you need, or, you know, would Tori just potentially go with the plan to take out Drea?
Yeah, I feel like Tori would just probably get out Drea in that situation. I mean, it's definitely, it's like anybody but me, but like a totally different personality type, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the thing. I do feel like she's either the very interesting spot swing vote, or she's the, you know, the classic Rob Sestern, you know, the swing vote that is just the easiest vote to get out.
I'm the easiest vote to get out.
You're the inventor of vote out the swing vote.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I love the idea of like, you know, when people have a choice, like, is it A or B? And then like going with something that's off the board. I mean, that's my favorite thing about Survivor.
Right. The Daniel thing was so fun. Like he totally chose option C for the Beware Advantage. Like I love it. The thing of try to get him not to say it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know? Let's take a question from Ivan, who asks, this cast feels nerdier than Survivor 41's cast. Do you think that if you were on Survivor 42, you could even do better than How Far You Got in Survivor 41 because of that collection of personalities? Steven called the Survivor 41 cast or the 42 cast. He said that he felt like it was the least athletic cast that was ever assembled on Survivor.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like that applies a lot more to the men of this cast than the women. Mm-hmm. I think there's some very fit women on this cast. I'll say,
you know, for sure.
Speaking of course, as an unathletic person myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Between Drea, Lindsay, yeah.
And Swathi was in the army. You know what I mean? I feel like, you definitely got some, it's fun. Yeah.
As far as the men are concerned, you have Jonathan and then, you know, a bunch of great guys.
Yeah. And a bunch of great, I mean, Marianne's crush wasn't on Jonathan. You know, it's not all about the size of the muscles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, do I think I would have? I mean, definitely in some ways. I think I'm a fairly adaptable person. I don't think I had to be around nerds to succeed, but totally could be. Like, I mean, I certainly would have. Me and Omar would have had plenty to talk about. We could have prepped that evolution metaphor like a little more, you know. I like Harry Potter, Rob.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You would fit right in. Have you ever had butterbeer?
I have not had butterbeer though, so I couldn't yes and
it's
that one.
It's delicious. Yeah.
It's delicious. I think it is a pretty nerdy cast, which is cute. Yeah, there definitely seem to be. It's cute. It's a different vibe. I feel like my cast was a little more like intense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of,
Okay. Amber asks, are we missing the theme seasons yet? You have a thought on this?
Yeah. I mean, what do you, I would say not really. I mean, I think eventually the names is going to get boring.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in terms of the, I really don't miss the, like, as a hustler, but
right,
like,
yeah. Right. So yeah, that's rough. We don't need that. I mean, it's like, I feel like that we kind of like, with the lack of a theme, I feel like that it's sort of caused Survivor to just like throw everything in the kitchen sink at it, because it's like they're not sort of restricted. But I felt like they were longing for Survivor Shipwheel Island of like this season. The contestants will go to Shipwheel Island.
Yeah. Realistically, I think Survivor 41, the theme was New Era, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. Survivor 42, it's like New Era, and they haven't seen it
yet. Lock in a key.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it feels to me like these two definitely still have a, you know what I mean? You're not like lost. You're like, okay, these are the two new seasons. So, you know, so mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting once we get higher in the 40s, if it's lost.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question from Josh, who wants to know, I have an idea on how to handle the beware advantage phrases. And I'd love to know what Evie thinks about it. What if you just pretend to be quoting someone else? Like, could Xander have said that Voce guy was having a hard time out here? I think he wasn't sleeping. We'd catch him saying things like, I truly believe that butterflies are dead relatives saying hi. Was there context? Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. Especially when but then that's such a red flag though to the other people on your tribe. Cause they're like, Voce never said that.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? You're a liar.
Yeah. You might be better off being like, my dad always told me.
Yes. Yeah. Quote a different person. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I
one of my favorite poems. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm probably a bad person to ask because every time I heard the phrases, I knew what they were. But from what I heard from other people on my cast is that they really were not suspicious of them. So I think it's probably easier to say, you know, than because you think.
These match checks go on for what, 15 minutes?
I mean, ours, they actually weren't very long. They were mostly the phrases thing, but it's just like, you don't know that could be a thing that's mm-hmm. happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
As a side note, with Mike and the soccer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's definitely an easy thing to say, but he's very prone to get follow-up questions later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You get to the merge and someone's like, oh my God, I love soccer. Who's your favorite team?
Yeah.
I'm a this fan. Mm-hmm. I'm not into trouble.
Yeah. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
Is that soccer? I don't know.
Yeah. He's a soccer. He's a soccer coach.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, look at me. I would have failed hard right there. You know?
Yeah. Okay. This is a great question from Elisa, who wants to ask. Okay. Hi, Robin Evie. A common comment I'm seeing that the editing is showcasing the personalities of the Survivor 42 cast. One thing I think that's really important to mention is that 42 is going to be 80% the same as 41 with same-ish twists. Because of this, the latter season benefits because editing and production does not need to explain the advantages and twists as heavily as it did in Survivor 41. This is like what you were saying before. Preach, I think 41 yes. got shafted of showing yes. the diversity of personalities because the show had to spend a lot of time explaining the twists. It's like the twists got flashbacks. Yeah. I personally think the solution is making the Survivor runtime longer, but for the benefit of this question, in the modern era of Survivor, how do we strike the balance between showcasing people and advantages in a 40-minute show so that the guinea pig season of twists aren't completely screwed out of personal content?
This comment speaks to me so deeply.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I mean, it just is so... I don't get why Survivor has to only be 42 minutes a week. There are so many other shows that are so much worse that have so much more time, you know?
Yeah. I don't know necessarily like what the costs are to sort of like in the post-production, like, you know, to do. I mean, I feel like that 90, the 2 hours, I think might be a little too BFJ for Survivor. 90 minutes does seem like a sweet spot, but then it would be hard to fill that 30 minute slot with something that would be, you know, sort of like in the same genre.
Yeah, it's really difficult because it's like you want the audience to understand, but then it's also hard because it's like I feel like so much of the audience still didn't understand and mm-hmm. it took up a lot of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really it's hard to say. I really don't know how you solve it, because like it really was to some degree a bummer for me, because I actually feel like I was with Daniel, you know, when I saw the Beware Advantage, I was like, this is fun. This is cool. Mm-hmm. And I honestly still, even like, I think the problem that people have with Shipwreck Island is that we've seen it now. Yeah. You know what I mean? But as a mechanism, if there's going to be advantages, I think it's a kind of fun way for the advantages to come into the game. You've got a social element. The advantage isn't even that powerful, except, you know, yeah, three times it won't be that powerful, and one time it'll be the most powerful advantage there's ever been in the game, you know.
So you referenced the second episode of the season earlier, where this time we did not see Shipwheel Island on the second episode, but by the time you went to Shipwheel Island with Deshaun, did you already know, based on Xander's story of like how the whole mechanism was going to work and what you were going to do?
Yes, I mean, Xander told us pretty much exactly the truth of what it was. And then it was exactly the same for mine. And also Danny had pretty much told Deshaun. So both of us kind of had the same intel. Mm-hmm. And then it was that. But then it is kind of fun, because then, you know, I got to know what it was and then make some decisions based on that, you know, mm-hmm, which is kind of fun to see the survivors process a new twist and then play around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it was different. Then the third time was kind of different with the nighttime.
Yeah, the summit. But I almost feel like that it was sort of like, okay, well, the prisoner's dilemma aspect of it was sort of like taken out of the equation, where you went, and then where also when Shen and Liana went, where right, they sort of like gamed it out ahead of time. And mm-hmm, I guess, did we have a couple episodes where it didn't have, where we didn't have Shipwheel Island?
There was just one in episode 4. There wasn't in the, yeah, mm-hmm, within the, we had like the challenge though, and we had the first reward challenge. So yeah, it was either reward challenge or the
Shipwheel Island. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I hear that.
Felipe Shimon wants to know, did anybody besides Xander have any crushes out there on your season? Was there anything like that? Mariah didn't even seem like that she knew about this crush, right, that Marianne had on Zach.
Right. Wow. I mean, you know, I guess I don't know. I think my season had a lot. I feel like a lot. I don't know what the percents are, but a lot of my cast had significant others, mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's what they said about quarantine, that it was the ultimate cuffing season, right?
I mean, I definitely, and I, from my group of friends, I think when the cuffing season loosened up, a lot of the cuffs, they came off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sad story.
It is, but maybe it's happy. People get to, you know, maybe be free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's, I think Survivor Goggles is real, obviously.
Survivor, yeah. Wow. I don't know if I've ever heard Survivor Goggles.
Are you serious? Come on. Like,
I love goggles. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get it. Like, mm-hmm, I think there's a reason why the Liana Xander thing was like on day 20.
Right. Yeah. A small dating pool.
Right. Yeah. Very much. Yeah.
Okay. Kevin wants to know, Evie, who do you think up to this point seems like the tightest pair in the game?
That's a great question. I think Omar and Jonathan, right? I mean, that's, I feel like, the pair that we have probably seen the most. Probably, I don't know. I mean, we've definitely seen a lot. It really depends on what tight is. I mean, that's a pair that we've seen both the emotional connection, and we've seen them like play it out strategy-wise, right? So, mm-hmm, I think that definitely jumps to mind. But I think some of these other ones, I mean, someone like Mike and Jenny, like, yeah, I don't know, Mike, and I'm probably just like stereotyping him by, but he feels like the kind of person that, like, if Jenny is his person, they're going to be a tight pair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, that whole tribe, the Vati tribe, seems like that they're three strong pairs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's going to be so interesting to see. I want to see that tribe go to Tribal Council so badly.
Yeah. Evie, did you have any thoughts on the fake blood last week? You were like, hey, where was our fake blood?
I mean, I do. It is really wild that I think one thing that we're missing is the follow up on that. Right. Like, because I mean, pretty much all you're talking about is like your bodies. I mean, I feel like that's like I knew when people had pooped. Yeah. I knew when people had peed. And if someone was bleeding a lot, we would have been on that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So but it was fun. It's great. I mean, and what good luck to have high be like with his skincare regime.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. That's such a iconic image of High with the fake blood. Okay. Maddie has for you an idea to pitch you. Okay. What do you think about the idea of doing a shared advantage idol during a blindfold challenge? Maybe there's something for each caller on their platform. Would it be a better way to implement a shared advantage? For the three people who are the callers, they are all blindfolded or not. Or they can all see. The other players are blindfolded. Like, could there be something like once they start the challenge, like Jeff, pulls like the curtain off something that says like, by the way, like if the three of you do this thing, you get this other advantage.
Wow. That's pretty fun. I mean, I like it. I think it to me a little bit has the same feel as the amulet thing. If it's like, what are the stakes in that? You know what I mean? In the moment, it's like, you know, it's a free advantage basically because everyone else is blindfolded, you know, but I guess probably in the new era would be like, but the advantage is you lose your vote, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
That's fun. I like it. I think the challenge, it's always fun to watch people find an idol at a challenge, right? I think those are good TV.
Yeah. What about for the three callers? Okay. How about the, you know, there is an idol that is hidden, you know, in like a particular, either you, but you're not allowed to get from your podium. You have to get the blindfolded people to go get it and drop it and drop it.
And drop
thing.
It and not even realize that they did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty, I like that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty fun.
Yeah. What but all three of the callers know like, oh, the idol is in this bucket. Like,
great. What if you also, this comes to mind also, like, has there ever been, it would be kind of strange if there was a, like, it was so fun when Deshaun and Danny tried to throw the challenge and it didn't work. Like, what if you had that built into a twist mechanism where it's like, if your tribe loses, you get something. You know what I mean? So you're like rooting against your team and like the caller, like if you mess it up.
Right. If you, okay. So if you, you know, lose immunity, you get an idol.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fun too.
That's kind of fun.
You know, with the other callers knowing about who has the idol also, it's also like, do I want to get the idol if these other two people are going to know that I'm going to get the idol also?
Right.
Okay.
I really didn't want an advantage. Like, it's very much pressure and target and all that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, it can also help you get to the end. So tricky, but.
It is very, very tricky. I think that with the introduction of all of these penalties with having the advantage, I am wondering, has the risk reward shifted to the point where you are better off not seeking out advantages in an aggressive way?
I mean, I definitely think so. I feel like it was almost already that way. And for it's if you get caught looking for idol, that's bad. If people know you have it, they want to blindside you. You know, I mean, I definitely think you want to be the person who read all the papers. And then, and then there's another thing. I mean, Xander faced like a penalty from the jury almost because he wasn't perceived as like doing anything with his idol, you know? And it's like, what if he just never had an idol, you know?
It's a good question.
No, I don't know. But maybe he wouldn't have gotten to the end, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trying to think if there's any thing from the questions that we didn't already cover. Alex Jackson wants to ask, do you think that the elimination of the last time of Survivor is making older fans of the show lost in what's happening? I'm all for cutting filler, but my grandpa can't keep up in the show. Abby, what should they do for the later days people who can't follow without the previously on?
That's funny. I mean, I feel like the problem with the previously on was for me was how much like it was narratively giving stuff away.
Yes.
Right. Like clearly it's going to be about this tribe because this is all Jeff is talking about here, but I know what the solution is. You just get the players to give.
Yes.
Cute
like
little
you
video.
Did. Yes.
On, you know?
Yes.
I'm looking after them.
Yeah. Talk about what just happened last week.
What?
For all of the players. Can you just refresh us for if you're just joining us?
Yeah, exactly. That's fun. I mean, you did a fake a little mock tribal account. So you just, I mean, cut to Marianne just going previously on Survivor.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Marianne knows how to get camera time talking about this is CBS.
Yeah. I, it, you know, it is so funny. I feel like they showed now, because Marianne again was singing the Survivor theme song.
Yes.
And the Blue Tribe was singing it last time. It occurred to me that because you can't, that's the only thing you're allowed to sing that they're going to show it on the show, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you do a copy.
What about the Yasa rock band?
Well, that's true. Or originals. Right? But it got, it was a secret scene. It wasn't good enough. You know? Yeah. So that's kind of fun because it was the way you want to sing to pass the time, but then they get mad at you because you can't use it on the show. So you got to sing that theme song, I guess.
Yeah, and they don't get mad if you sing the Survivor theme song.
I guess not. I mean, I never tried it. Maybe you should be putting your effort into what if the players wrote the new, like, you better be ready, you know?
Yeah, we didn't really have one of those in Survivor 41.
Yeah, there was in the... I feel like in one of the promos, there was kind of something, but I forget now what it was.
Yeah. Were we disappointed that Sia wasn't more involved with season 41?
You know, Sia, the shine is off.
She has a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. But if she had given me money, I would have liked it.
Yes. So, yes. Were there any famous people that were tweeting about Survivor 41?
Nothing jumps out of my mind. I think there was something where like Celine Dion tweeted
Neil
something.
Patrick Harris, a famous three name celebrity, talk about how he's loving Survivor 41.
Did he? I love that. Well, there was the Supreme Court Justice, new one who was not in, said she loved Survivor.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably that means 41, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Was there anyone else notable, you know? I was pretty busy during that time, you know, so I might have missed it.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Evie, anything else about Survivor 42 or anything else from Survivor 41 that you feel like you never got to clear the air about?
Oh, man. Now we're going to let 42 go. You know,
It's their time now.
It's their time now. But, you know, everyone out there, give another watch. You know, the advantages now, they're there. I mean, OK, how crazy would it be, though? If there's an hourglass again, if it doesn't get smashed, that would be wild. I feel like I would have to really.
You think everybody would be very excited if there's an hourglass and they don't smash it?
I mean, I think production would be very validated in that it's a choice, right? Mm-hmm. I think imagine that happens and then that person goes home, though. That's Erica Reichenbach level, I feel like. That's worse.
Erica Reichenbach.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm loving 42. I feel like am I right in saying I feel like there's just kind of like, it's not like there's not strategy, but there's not like, there's not so many like sides or you know what I mean? It's been these like unanimous votes. I don't know. I'll be interested to see how it picks up, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder maybe if that has helped with sort of like we're feeling very much like that we love the characters. Like I wonder if every season should have like some pretty easy votes to start things off. Like I wonder if that's like rather than, you know, a super complicated first vote, live tribal council, people are moving around, who has what, you know, we get to spend a little bit more time with the characters and the votes are pretty basic.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I mean, obviously, maybe not as a viewer, but maybe the first episode, no one has to go home and everyone gets to stay a little longer. You know, it's a great cat.
Yeah.
Just saying. Sucks to go home so early.
It's, you know, it's tough, you know. I don't know. But I think we're off to a great start here for Survivor 42.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's really fun. And the cast just seems really sweet and great. And yeah, I feel very lucky that I get to be on this side and rooting for everyone, you know.
So rooting for everybody. Well, you have been very welcoming to the Survivor 42 cast here today. Did not drag any of them?
No, I mean, come on. It's like, what am I going to say? You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
We all made mistakes.
Did you feel like were the alumni kind to the Survivor 41 cast?
Oh, I mean, I think... many individuals were very individually kind for sure. I mean, I think we all got dragged
family.
A lot. The hardest seasons than ever, blah, blah, blah. You know, it wasn't a great look for us coming in, but I don't know. I would honestly say people were, I mean, very, very nice, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we've been through it, you know, like these are people.
Yeah. And everybody was so excited for Survivor to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very cool to be like, everyone's waiting. And then it gets to be us.
To break the drought.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe that 42, they filmed right after us. And then they had to wait so long.
It's wait. Very, very long. Yeah. I saw Ricard had posted recently about how close it was for the seasons in terms of that your group had just gotten out of there.
Yeah. And I mean, literally on the day we left Ponderosa way earlier than we needed to for our flight. They had us hanging out at a hotel for hours before the flight because 42 was coming right then. Mm-hmm. It was crazy quick turnaround. So mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It feels like my sibs, you know, mm-hmm. my siblings.
Yeah. Would you have been up for, had they had a situation like Jackson where they pulled him before the game and said to you, all right, Evie, we're a person short. Okay. Uh-huh. We need to go back. Will you jump back in? We won't tell them that you played in season 41.
Oh my God. Hell yeah. And imagine especially these two seasons, what an advantage that would be. many things.
You wouldn't know the triangles.
I would know. Okay. You get someone else to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, so Evie, how do you know everything?
Yeah. Exactly. I feel like when he said soccer, that was weird. Like mm-hmm.
Dude, I've got a feeling about this.
Yeah. Guys, we're not safe at the merch. Wow.
I'm warning you. Evie, what fun is going on in your world? So not a lot of raves these days.
Not my raving days, maybe, but I really, let's be honest, I need to hang out with Lydia when this is over. So mm-hmm. maybe she'll bring you a rave. Maybe that's, the dream. But yeah, no, life's good. I am, as you mentioned, doing these weekly predictions on Distractify.
Yep.
So, people can check those out, see how wrong I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my thing. I'm on Cameo.
Yes.
I don't know if you're asking me to plug my stuff now, but
no, please. Whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, I really freaking love Cameos. And not to bring back a thing that we all are glad is over, Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's been talked about enough, Todrick's sins. But his Cameo thing.
That bothered you.
Was so sad. It really did bother me because, I mean, I'm sure he gets a very different volume than I get.
Yeah.
But it's like the coolest thing to get to, it's not that much work to make it personal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People write stuff about their loved ones and then you just rip off that a little bit and it makes me happy. It makes them happy. And so just saying. And this week until March 21st, 25% of my Cameo profits go to an organization that supports people in Ukraine and people fleeing Ukraine. And all of Cameo, the app, also has a percentage of the money right now going to that as well. So it's a good time to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Evie, you watching anything? That's last time we were talking, you told us about how you were watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and then you were on with Maggie and Jacob.
Yep, so fun. I was a big on The Love is Blind and loved.
Yes.
If people are still watching it and haven't, the coverage was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The finale or the
reunion
wedding
show.
Episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, in terms of the podcast, the one that Sasha was on.
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God. So funny.
Yeah.
Great podcast.
Yeah.
I kind of took a little reality TV pause right now. I mean, obviously Survivor, but my partner and I recently did we're in a Shondaverse watch situation. So we just watched all of Scandal. All of it. Yes. And are halfway through, we're like on season 4 of Grey's Anatomy. So,
is this a rewatch?
I think we've both seen a lot of both those shows, but we certainly, neither of us has gone into the teens on Grey's Anatomy. So I don't know how far we'll go.
This is a commitment.
I mean, yeah. The other fun fact is that Carmel's aunt is a writer on, was a writer for Grey's Anatomy, and her brother was a writer on Scandal.
Okay.
Or a writer's assistant, but he wrote an episode. Pretty cool.
So she has all the tea.
She's got a lot of tea. She was there. She's seen think about Grey's Anatomy. Think about it from this perspective. The prosthetics department, it's freaking crazy what those people do. If you think about it.
Mm-hmm. I bet they can get you some skulls.
It's so true. With like drills in it.
Yeah. You know? We get a bunch more for the collection.
Yeah. So if anyone is interested in that sort of content, you know,
Yeah.
What else are you watching? Oh my God. Okay. I know you're how was Beyond the Edge, Rob?
Oh, well, I happened to talk about it today with Jenny Autumn. Good is an interesting word. I would say if you love challenges.
No.
Yeah, I described it as a cross between Pirate Master and Tough as Nails.
Wow. Neither of those references.
If you like
does
about happen. A 30-minute challenge and a lot of talk about just how tough people are and perseverance, gotcha. Beyond the Edge is the show for you. You could just jump to the podcast.
Okay. I think that's what I started doing for The Bachelor. I can't bring myself, especially I could watch The Bachelorette. I can't really watch The Bachelor. It just kind of goes against everything.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But listening to the podcasts are fun. So maybe this will be a show
anything, you can check out the Premiere podcast and see if it's interesting for you. We thought that the choice of the host is very interesting.
Yeah. What's that guy doing?
They went with a guy who is a UFC announcer, has a very distinct voice.
Okay.
Yeah. And Meta World Peace is always going to be fun.
Right.
From the original Celebrity Big Brother.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm not watching Big Brother Canada 10, but I am because of my Celebrity Big Brother reign. I've gotten on Big Brother Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm there.
How's the BB streets? Yeah.
I feel like, as a witness, y'all were obsessed that Kyle was on it. And now everyone seems to hate Kyle. What happened there?
Now, when you say you all, are you including me?
I guess I don't know about you, but I would say the R half.
Yes, yes.
Seemed to be the main.
They were excited. They knew him. That
I mean, they made him. It seems.
They blew him. Look, and then they walked it back. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean. I feel like he's going to be sad when he comes out.
I think so. I think he's got a lot to be sad about.
Okay. I see. Yeah. See, I missed the content. I'm only seeing the reactions. Yeah. I don't know what the content was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But people were excited to see him play. But then, I always say, this is my advice to people. And I see that, a lot of people in the community do this. Like, ideally, don't stand strangers. Like, let's get to know these people a little bit before we like greatest person ever. Like, we stand them because you don't know everything about them.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. Like, Evie, who the hell is that?
Evie now, but it's a risk. It's a do or die. Sometimes it's a risky game of I like this bio. I stand this person. Like, give it some time.
Especially when that person, the one thing you know about them is that they want to be on TV. That's a red flag.
That's a red flag. It's sometimes in the case of Evie, it works out great. And there's other people, it's like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know they were going to be that.
But it's been fun to watch that ride. I would say I was thinking about muting the hashtags. I was like, I don't know that I care about this, but it's been fun to watch that.
Are you a BBUS person?
I really like Celebrity Big Brother.
Now first.
I've seen 2 and 3 are the only Big Brothers I've seen. They're so long. That's what I'm intimidated about.
Yeah.
But I'll probably check it out.
You should dabble in the BB24 when it comes on.
Yeah. I also, in the midst of Survivor 41, was listening to some of the, I feel like I can also just Taryn live update my way through a Big Brother.
A lot of people do that. Yeah.
No. Okay. So I was actually listening to some of the BB23. I wanted to see how the whole cookout, I wanted to see how that end game played out. So I was listening to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evie. Well, you're such a great RJP listener.
I don't want to be a kiss ass, but I really love RJP. I a lot, it brings me a lot of joy.
Well, I appreciate that so much. And it's a great compliment coming from, such a smart person like yourself.
Thank you. Also, I you know, as long as COVID cases stay as they are, I'm going to be at the live know-it-alls in New York.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, no, there's a lot of, you know, ifs in that, but, we'll be very excited.
But also, can I just say, I feel like also side note, more ass kissing, but like the whole class of 2020 thing you did, it was just so cool. I mean, it was just like, everyone was talking about, we need more diversity. We need it. And you're just like, freaking did it. And now there's all these really cool people on this franchise.
Yeah.
Like it's so good.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, I was really very fortunate that there were so many great people that were out there that wanted to, you know, come and play and do these podcasts. So, you know, I was just, you know, very, very fortunate with having so many great people around to want to, you know, come and make the podcast better.
Yeah, that is the thing. When you have more diverse voices, it's going to be better. It's just going to be more interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. And as a side note, I thought about applying to that. And then I was like, I'm going to apply for Survivor instead.
Yeah. But it worked out great.
We ended up at the same endpoint, Rob.
What did you want to talk about? Survivor?
Survivor. It was mostly like I'd been listening to so much Evolution of Strategy.
Yes.
And I felt like we needed a non-man perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I was going to pitch like a Evolution of Strategy part two, or like a skip around to talk about like feminist / queer / stuff. Mm-hmm. That was the vision.
Yeah.
I probably got a notes app draft of it somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. All right.
I mean, it was half baked, but yeah.
It's a great idea.
I can't think of a really specific example, but I don't know if we're okay. All right. You're just giving me a little taste of what we could have had. Okay.
Oh, you really found cool. That you've opened up the app.
No, I just know it off the top of my head.
Okay.
You know, in Micronesia.
Yes.
When, there's the whole thing where ultimately Amy Cusack gets voted out.
Yeah.
Right. And, so Eric tells, the other favorites that Amy was, you know, had been working with him and who was it? Him and Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Amy goes back to Eric and is like, thanks, Eric, or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
You and Josh were like, was that sarcastic? Like, what's the, and it was just one of those moments where I was like, oh my God, that was like classic, like Mean Girls, Regina George. Like it was just, and I was like, I feel like we could add, you know, someone who could read her a little better, you know?
Yes. Yes. I'm sure that there, you could do a whole 300 hours on all the stuff we missed.
Right.
That's
not trying to nip it. It was just a moment of like, mm-hmm. Man, it'd be fun to like go in on some of that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, please.
Yeah. It's already, that was my one idea. So, and we already did it in 10 seconds. So.
Yeah, but how many more are there?
Yeah, there's a lot, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Evie, what, you know, anything you want to ever talk about on RHAP, whether it's with me or, you know, you have a vision for something, you know, please, you know, you know how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, that's so kind, Rob. It's really, really fun that I get to be a part of this. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. Follow Evie Jagoda on social media. Yep. Is it the same for all across the board?
I think it's pretty similar. I think if you're looking for EVIEJAGODA, you'll find me.
Yeah.
That might not be exactly it, but you'll find me. You'll, you know?
Yeah. Evie's out there. And Evie, thank you again. This was so much fun. This time has flown by tonight.
It's so true. It's almost like a rave, you know?
Is this what a rave is like? Yeah.
No, but you have rave lighting, Rob. Has anyone ever told you that? It's honestly, it's bisexual rave lighting.
You've yes. Got
the, yeah. Yeah.
So can I ask, what does that mean?
The rave lighting or the bisexual?
Yeah,
well, the bisexual is it's pink and blue.
Yeah.
Which is like, the, yeah. And, you know, rave, you got the pulsing lights,
mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think you can piece this together, you know?
Piece this together, yeah. Evie, this was so wonderful. I'm going to be back with my next podcast here, Talking Survivor, with Pouya Zambakili. We are going to talk about your feedback. So send it in. Rob's website.com/voicemail or Send in questions to robswebsite.com/S42Questions. Make sure you subscribe to our Survivor podcast feed. Lots of other great stuff coming up this weekend. Of course, the B&B, Why Blank Lost, Taryn Stockwatch, the Purple Pants podcast, Survivor News, Shannon Gus, and more. robswebsite.com/Survivor feed. Evie, thank you again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.